Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, February 23rd, 2014. Pastor Paul Tolberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Our meditation is going to be taken from Daniel chapter 6. I'll be looking at it a little bit later. One of the things you may have noticed is that as you go through God's Word, it's kind of like going through a book of just facts, like a history book. And that's not how God wants it to be. God's Word says his Word is living and active. Part of what we've been doing is making sure that we understand what was going on so that you understand that when Jesus missed his best friend's funeral, it was on purpose, and he knew it was going to cause a lot of grief. And when he came to the graveyard, to the tomb, to the tombstone of his best friend, he was overcome with the emotion of the pain of death and all those people around him crying. And the most powerful two words in the scriptures were recorded. Jesus wept. And I pray that whenever you read the scriptures, like that scripture, you see tears running down Jesus' face. I pray that when we go through these Bible histories, you see them as they really were. These were real people who gathered together like you and I get together. They had real problems and their real jobs with their real families, and they served the real God with his real promises, and they really did trust him. We're now going to be looking at Daniel chapter 6, but we're going to look at the entire chapter 18 first as an overview. Daniel in exile.
Far away from home. The Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, selected a group of the most healthy, educated Israelite men to study the Babylonian language and culture for 3 years, then put them to work in his royal court. In this group, there were three men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They served the king faithfully, and the king placed them in powerful positions. Nebuchadnezzar wanted his people to worship him, so he built a 90-foot-tall gold statue of himself and commanded everyone in Babylon to worship it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had committed themselves to only worshiping God. So when everyone else in Babylon bowed and worshiped to the statue, the three men stayed standing. Nebuchadnezzar was furious and sentenced them to be thrown into a fiery furnace and burned alive. The king ordered the furnace to be turned up to 7 times hotter than usual, so hot that even the guards who threw them into it were killed. Once the three men were inside, the king jumped up and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men we threw in? I now see 4 men, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." The king ordered the men to come out. When they did, everyone was amazed. Not only were they still alive, but they were in perfect condition. Not a hair on their heads had been burned. Once again, the king was impressed and not only let the men go, but promoted them. Years later, a new king of Babylon named Darius came on the scene. A friend of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego named Daniel, who was also an Israelite, was so well-liked by the new king that the other leaders in Babylon became jealous and hatched a plot to get rid of him. They tricked King Darius into signing a law that said Darius himself was a god and should be the only god anyone should worship for the next 30 days. Daniel heard about the law, but chose not to follow it. he went into an upstairs room in his home and looked out the windows facing toward Jerusalem. And he prayed to God three times a day. When the Babylonian leaders saw Daniel praying, they told King Darius, who was now forced to punish Daniel. He was arrested and thrown into a den full of lions overnight. In the morning, the den was opened, and Daniel was not only alive, there was not a scratch on him. Years later, after the Israelites had all been living in exile for 70 years, the Babylonians were overtaken by Persia, and the Israelites were allowed to return back to Jerusalem. They were going home.
Today, we're going to be looking at Daniel in the lion's den. And in Bible class today, we're going to be looking at the event of the three men in the fiery furnace, which took place 60 years before Daniel in the lion's den. From Daniel chapter 6, it says, "The administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs." Daniel was a politician. They were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. The first thing we're going to hear about this and look at is that three truths that you hear from a lion's den is, first of all, there's a senseless hatred, unbelief, and people controlled by unbelief hate believers. You need to understand this, that there are people outside these walls that hate you. It doesn't matter how you're dressed, doesn't matter what food you eat, it doesn't matter if you have kids or don't have kids, whether you're married or don't marry, they hate you because you follow Jesus. And it's a senseless hatred. With these guys in charge, the kingdom that they were in charge of was being blessed, but they hated it. Because they were jealous, because they, they just hate him. Unbelief hates belief. Light is hated by darkness. Light has to penetrate the darkness, and when it does, there is no more darkness. And boy, I tell you, people do not like that. This is what happens. It says, these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So they looked and they looked and they looked and they couldn't find a single thing that Daniel, they got to put him away and they can't. So what do? Did they say to themselves, maybe we should keep this guy here. He's dependable, he's faithful. Maybe we should keep this honest guy here. Maybe everyone is going to be blessed the longer he is there. No, that did not happen. Instead, they turned on him behind his back. They snuck a law in, and they kind of petted the king's ego, and they said, "You know, king, you are a great king, and I just the people just so much love you, king, and they need to understand how much greater you are. Why don't you make a great big statue?" And then nobody prayed to anything else other than that statue for 30 days. We're not going to impose on everybody for all of time. It's just a nice way of saying they're going to worship you and this great God of yours for 30 days. Sounded good to the king. 90 feet covered with gold. He owns the whole world. Why not? In our culture, we have things that are kind of eerily similar to this. And our culture makes it very, very hard to be a student in high school and speak up for the baby in the womb. In public schools, it is the law of the land that children must be taught that they are animals. Highly evolved, very smart animals. That's a lie. But they must be taught that. Well, if you're taught that, well, then Who cares about marriage? Marriage is just a contract, even though God says it's not. Then who cares about sex? Because then you have it with whoever you want. Oh, let's expand that. Let's say with whatever you want. Our culture is very similar. Not quite to the point of Daniel's where they made them. The law came and made them do something that was against their conscience. They made them fall down and worship an idol full of power and gold and glitz. And it's just for a short time. Now, when Daniel knew that this new law was signed, Daniel went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, Daniel knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom in the early days. The real God moved Daniel to give thanks when this law came out. The real God moved Daniel to give thanks. Daniel already knew that everything was in control of the Lord. So for whatever reason, and according to God's plan, everything was going to turn out okay. And because everything was going to turn out okay, he said thank you to God. Even though on his knees, with the windows open, facing Jerusalem, his life was on the line. Because there was senseless hatred. You could not reason with it because it was insane. It was his custom. And why was it his custom? Because his parents had taught him about the true God when he was just a little pup. Taught him about the true God and what God had done and what God was going to do. So in the face of senseless hatred, he knelt down and he gave thanks. And guess what? He was thrown into the lion's den. And guess what? They locked the door behind him.
Not too late.
Sire, shall I call the physician?
I have wronged my friend.
Open it.
With you. Your God is real. Your God has saved you.
Yes.
God is real and God has saved. The promise was given way back in the time of Exodus. It says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Again, it was repeated in the book of Psalms. Again, Jeremiah said the same thing. Again, all the prophets have said the same thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So as Daniel was doing his life, living his life for the glory of God and benefiting others, wickedness came up, unexpected, and tried to kill him. And what did he do? He did what we all pray that we would do. He said, well, Lord, I'm here and you're directing my path. My path appears to me to be in a dead end. My path appears to me to be a no way to go beyond this point because wickedness has done this to me. The door is locked behind me. They're not going to check on this den until the morning. And the lions are hungry. Oh Lord, save me. He talked to the real God. And in the face of the real God, senseless hatred has to disappear. Because God is light, hatred is dark. Light and dark, they cannot be together. Darkness must leave. God is love. Love cannot abide the presence of hate, and it must leave. So when you call on the name of the living God, guess who steps in? The real God, the God of light and love. And he did that in Daniel's case. And God recorded that for us, not because we're all politicians, but because all of us need to know that in this world there is wickedness. There are people who hate because they're connected to Satan himself. And they cannot abide the fact that you have peace. They cannot abide the fact that you have joy. They cannot handle it that you willingly put yourself underneath the authority of God whom you cannot see. And because you don't join them with them in their rebellion, they hate you and they hate me. But what are we to do then? The Lord says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Think, why does Jesus tell us to pray for the ones who are hurting us? Ever think about that? Why? Why was Daniel to pray for the ones who threw him into this den? Why was Daniel to pray for the enemies that had connived against him? Why did Jesus pray on the cross for the people who pounded nails into his flesh? Why? Because unless we go into our Father's presence and we pray on behalf of somebody who is harming us, the living God will step in and then woe to that person or those people who are harming us because you cannot fight against the living God and win. Jesus says, pray. Pray for those. What happens? You know, as I'm going through this, God is real and God has saved. Daniel was still a prisoner, well, slave of war, as were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They never got out of that foreign country, as far as we know. They lived and died in a foreign land, captives. God didn't get him out of that. God said, I am there with you through this because I have an incredible plan in mind. I want people to know everywhere that I am the real God. And I'm going to do it this way, Daniel. You're going to find yourself stuck in a lion's den that normally rip people apart after 30 seconds. But I'm going to keep you protected all night long by sending an angel. And he'll close the mouths of those lions and you will be safe. And what will happen then? This is what happened. The king said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom on earth, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For the Lord is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the only one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. Daniel's God-given faith enabled a God-given stand and was protected by the real God. And so we walk free. You and I are under a death sentence. God stepped into the lion's den for us on the cross. He suffered and died for us on the cross. He came out and says, by the way, you are free. All of your sins are gone. Whatever is troubling you, I have removed from you. You and God, you're okay. There's peace now. God has made peace. So how are we letting people know that good news? A pagan king who did not believe in the true God said, you know what? Everybody best pay attention because he is the real God. Well, how do you and I let that news be known? How do we share that good news? We might be like Daniel maybe someday. Maybe someday some things will come up and they'll hit you blindsided and they'll hurt you like the Dickens and they'll pain you and tempt you to be absolutely terrified. At a time like that, people are watching you just like they're watching Daniel. How is God's kid going to react? So prepare yourself now. Remind yourself right now, wait a minute. The Lord works all things out for my good. Things that appear to me to be evil are not. So Lord, work your word in me and through me so that you may be glorified with my life. Just as Daniel was with his life. I ask this, Jesus, in your name, to let me live this way. Amen.